Our scripture reading this morning will be found first in Luke chapter 24. We'll begin with verse 31 of Luke chapter 24. Excuse me, that's Luke 22. A misprint. My apologies. Luke 22, verse 31 through 34. That's on page 882 in your pew Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me. You deny three times that you know me. And then keep a finger there, for the sermon will come mostly from those verses. But flip also to 1 Peter chapter 5. Be focusing on verse 8, but I'll start with verse 6 for context and reading through verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, that's on page 1017 in your pew Bibles. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thus we've read from 1 Peter 5 as well as Luke 22. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we do thank You for Your Word. We ask now that You would help us as we hear Your Word and explore Your Word, that You would hide Your Word in our hearts, that it would grow and bear fruit in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have been going through what the Bible tells us about Satan, and this will be the last Sunday on this. And I think that Luke chapter 22 gives us a good summary of what we need to know about Satan and Peter and his struggles. Here in Luke 22, Jesus ends up predicting what's going to happen to Peter in his denial. And he begins this prediction with saying that, Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you. He desires to sift you like wheat. This is what Satan wants, to try our faith and see if he can separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the phrase, he demands to have you. This is not just Satan kind of wanting. This is how Satan operates. He wants to destroy Christians. And he wants to do that by separating you from Jesus Christ. It's not just a minor hobby he has. It is his goal and his mission. He demands it. Much like he did in the book of Job, you'll remember, where he goes before the Lord and the Lord brings Job up and his first response is, he fears you for nothing. Let me have him. Then he'll curse you to his face. So he's doing the same with Peter. Peter fears you for nothing. I demand to be able to sift him like wheat. And you'll see he'll be the chaff and not the wheat. This is what Satan does. That's why he is our adversary. He is against Christ, and therefore against anyone who follows Christ. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus warns Peter, "Behold, look, take notice of this, Peter. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn again, strengthen your brothers." In that we see that there will be, while the denial is not specifically spelled out in verse 32, we do see that Jesus says, when you've turned again, when you've returned, He is predicting that Peter will survive this sifting, but He is also predicting that there will be something he has to turn from, that Peter will be affected. But notice Peter's response. "I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And if that means going to you to prison and to death, I'll do it." Peter is already excited. This is not exactly the response you ought to have when someone tells you Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And Peter's response is, "I'm ready to go. Let's go." And then Jesus explains it to him a little more thoroughly. "Before the rooster crows this day, you're going to fail three times. You'll deny that you even know me three times. You're not ready, Peter." The pride in Peter's response is there. You can see it. "I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And then when the time came, he was not ready for that. You guys all know the story of what happens next in the incident. The disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and Peter, James, and John are asked to even go a little further with Jesus into the garden. Then he falls on his face in front of them, praying, and he's praying fervently. And Peter, James, and John fall asleep. Jesus comes and wakes them up, and he says, "Pray with me, stay awake." And he goes back, and he falls on his face and prays again, and they fall asleep again. He comes back and he wakes them again and he tells them, "The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak." And then when Judas leads the band of people to arrest Jesus, now Peter's awake and he cuts off a man's ear with his sword. Jesus rebukes Peter and heals the ear. He says, "Put away your sword." Think about that just for a minute, about Peter's already failure. He was unwilling to go to prayer with the Lord, but is willing to draw swords and fight. In a moment of passion. And then the people take Jesus away, and it's clear he's about to be railroaded through a kangaroo court where he's going to be put to death. And now all of a sudden, Peter's put the sword up and he's a terrified man. And he's outside the gates, probably around a fire with a group of other people who were there. Probably many of the same people who were about to chant, "Crucify him, crucify him." And one of them says, I recognize you. You're one of those Galileans that hangs out with Jesus." Peter says, no, not me. I don't know Jesus." And then it comes back again and say, yeah, I recognize you and I recognize your accent. You're definitely a disciple." And then Peter gets even angrier and he says, "Don't say that about me. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Absolutely not. I don't know that man. I've already said that once." And then another comes along and says, "I've seen you with him." And it says that he calls down curses. He invokes the name of the Lord in order to support his lie and says basically something along the lines of, "If I know Jesus, then let the Lord deal with me, such and such. I'm not a follower of him." And then, just as Jesus predicts in 34, the rooster crows. If you go back and read the account, it says actually, and he remembered Jesus' words. He remembers this prediction. He remembers that Jesus had warned him, Satan demands to have you, he's going to sift you like wheat, and when the cock crows three times, then you'll know. You'll have denied me by then. And then Jesus, it says that Peter weeps. He remembers the words. He remembers that he was to be tested by Satan who demanded to have him, and he failed. And in his sin, he repents and he cries tears of repentance for what he had done. Peter the proud, I'm ready to go to prison and I'm ready to die even with you, who three times was given the opportunity to do just that. And he didn't. But just as Jesus predicted in verse 32, and when you have turned again with his tears of repentance, strengthen your brothers. And Peter does that as well. We see that it is Peter who runs to the empty tomb with John and doesn't stop at the doorway of the tomb but bounds in looking for his risen Lord and Savior. It's Jesus who is now appears to Peter, and then and Jesus in another appearing. When Peter and some of the disciples are fishing, Jesus tells them, throw it on the other side. And there's so many fish. Peter doesn't wait for the boat to come in. It's too slow. He jumps off and he swims to shore, because he wants to be reunited with his Lord. And from there, Jesus tells him, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. Feed the sheep. Strengthen the brothers. And he does that for the rest of his life. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5 is so interesting when read in the light of what happens here in Luke 2:22 and the rest of the story about his denials. Verse 6 starts with, humble yourselves. 1 Peter 5, 6, unlike what Peter did when he was told that Satan demanded to have him, to sift him like wheat, he was not humble, he was proud. Now Peter has learned his lesson and is going to say, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And the answer begins with humble yourself. Knowing that at the proper time the Lord might exalt you. Be sober-minded, be watchful, because the devil is prowling, looking for someone to devour. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to devour you. He wants to separate you from the love that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to turn your back on your faith so that you will walk away from the Lord Jesus. And he does it through suffering. He does it through temptation. He does it whatever he can. He does it through lies. And Peter, who went through this sifting, but in the end repented of his failure, is now warning us as other believers to be humble and to be watchful, because Satan wants you and he wants to devour you. Peter's trust in himself was the wrong response. And in 1 Peter 5:6, we see that the right response is trusting in the Lord, and the Lord will exalt you. Trust in the Lord and He will strengthen you. Trust in the Lord and the Satan can be defeated. In Luke 22, Peter's boasting about his loyalty. Boasting about his readiness. Boasting about his own strength. And all those things fail him. And not just one time, they fail three times at least. And we're not counting the failures in the garden if we're just going to count the denials. Peter's faith was a bit misplaced. Trusted in himself and not in the Lord. Peter should have given thanks to Christ when he heard this and saying, you have prayed for me. Thank you for your upholding grace. Verse 32 is the answer to how we overcome. I've prayed for you. But don't worry, Peter, I've prayed for you, and you'll turn again and then strengthen your brothers after you do that. Instead of being awed and amazed that the Lord Jesus Christ had prayed for Peter, he said, I can do it. And Peter failed and sinned and denied Jesus three times. But Satan was unable to destroy Peter's faith because he remembered the words of Jesus. And he wept the tears of repentance. And in that action, Satan was defeated. In that moment of repentance, Peter turned back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter used the words of Christ, the remembrance of those words, to overcome the devil. He went back to trusting that it would be the Lord Jesus Christ who would exalt him in his own time, that he would be upheld by the grace of his Savior, the Lord. And as the Gospels have it, they often put the story of Peter right next to the story of Judas so that you can see the difference. In Peter's repentance and trusting his faith back in Jesus Christ, Satan was defeated. He turned and was restored. Judas, in his failure and his sin, did not turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, went out and trusted his own actions and tried to rid himself of his own guilt. He threw the 30 pieces of silver back. It didn't work. He was still guilty. And then he hung himself so he stopped feeling guilty. No repentance from Judas. But in Peter, Satan was defeated because he did turn again. That was Peter's hope. His hope should have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. His hope was that in, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus had been saying prayers for Peter. Jesus knew Peter was going to be tested, so he prayed for Peter. Don't overlook that amazing verse. I've prayed for you and your faith that it would not fail. This is Jesus just about to go to the cross. Knowing that he's very near to the suffering, he's a day away from the wrath of God and agony, spiritual and physical. Yet he's praying not for himself but for Peter. Satan's going to test you, Peter, so I've prayed for you. It's in this fact that Jesus wants Peter to take comfort. And he tells Peter that Satan wants to put him through the ringer. But says, ultimately, I've prayed for you. He's warning Peter that trials and temptations and hardships are coming, but the comfort is, I have prayed for you. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a mere pleasantry. This is power in prayer. I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. It's protection. This is the Son of God, our Mediator, going to the Father with a request that is granted because Peter's faith holds. Because he repents. When you turn again, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is going to let Peter get sifted like wheat because Jesus knows that Peter is wheat. And not chaff. Satan does not believe it. Satan believes that Peter is chaff and that Peter will fall. But Jesus knows, when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. After Satan is finished with you and you've stayed true and Satan is defeated, help those out who will go through the same trials and temptations, the same sifting. Those people who are wanting to be devoured by Satan, help them. Once Satan is finished, get back to the work of feeding the lambs and tending the sheep. Jesus knows the end. He knows the outcome. He knows that he won't let Peter fall. Jesus, who began a good work in Peter, is not going to let it crumble. He will finish and complete it. Satan is not going to win. Peter is weak. Peter will be upheld because Jesus is on his side and praying for him. Because Jesus is going to the cross for Peter. And it's only in Jesus that we have that victory. And we, as believers, are in a similar situation. Which is what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5. Satan is demanding you as well. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to devour you like a lion devours its prey. He wants to ruin us all. Satan believes that given the right incentive, we would all turn our backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. That we all fear Him for no reason. Maybe some need some hard times and you'll turn your back. Maybe He wants you to face a life-threatening situation or illness and you'll turn your back. Maybe you just need to be tricked by a lie and you would turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has many devices. But the ultimate end of these devices is always the same, to separate you from the Lord Jesus Christ. To make you turn your back and deny Him, that is his goal. And we are to resist Him, firm in your faith. That's the resisting. Not turning your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clinging to Him. In that way, Satan is resisted. Verse 9, resist Him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, notice it's very similar to what Jesus told Peter. After you've suffered a while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory, will restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. Just as Jesus told Peter, and when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. And here He says, and after you've gone through the grinding of Satan for a little while, the Lord will restore you. Notice in verse 10 then, that the victory over Satan, Peter ascribes not to our own strength, but ultimately to the God of grace. We are to be watchful. We are to be sober-minded. We are to humble ourselves, understanding that it's God who saves. We are to resist the Lord, or resist Satan and cling to the Lord, firm in our faith. But ultimately understanding that the victory is because of Jesus Christ and His finished work and His continued work of upholding us and praying for us, being our advocate for us in heaven. That Satan is not defeated because we are so strong or we are so good, but that Satan is defeated because Jesus has won the victory already. And our victory over him then depends upon our humility and faith in Jesus Christ and submission to His will. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to the Lord. And resist the devil, just as Peter has said, resist the devil by holding fast to your faith, submitting to God, and Satan will ultimately flee from you. That's an amazing verse, an amazing promise that we as Christians can cling to. If you submit to God and resist the lies of Satan, then he will flee for you. The next verse, verse 8 of chapter 4, is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I believe those verses are related. Resisting Satan, submitting to the Lord, means getting closer to the Lord and drawing near to him, humbling yourself. And as you draw near to God and trust God and hold fast in your faith to God, Satan will want nothing to do with that and he will flee. Satan wants to get you away from the Lord, away from Christ, away from God. So resist him by drawing near to God. And in that way, Satan will not be there. He will be defeated. He will flee. In fact, chapter 4, verse 7 in James is surrounded by verses about humility, about trusting in God and not in yourself. It's about denying pride. Because verse 6 even said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. I hope you can see the correlation between James and Peter and the importance of humility and trusting in Jesus Christ. And that way Satan will be resisted and will be defeated. Do not think that you can stand against the wiles of Satan in your own strength. No, we've been given the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. The faith that connects us to the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself and draw near to the Lord. And in that, Satan will be defeated. Resist Satan's lies by clinging to your faith. Resist Satan's ways by drawing near to the Lord. Resist his temptations and his suffering that he wishes to inflict upon you by understanding you are to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You can't trust the flesh, but you can trust the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to his will and his truth, and Satan will not be able to harm you and will flee away from you. Draw near to God in his presence, and that will be the protection that you need. Hold fast to your faith, and the fiery darts of the evil one will not hurt your soul. Satan is not going to flee because he's afraid of you. He will flee because Christ is protecting you. And you are fleeing to him. You have gone to the source of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, Satan is defeated. Which leads me to the first point of application is that our victory over Satan is in Jesus Christ alone. It's in His victory over Satan. It is Jesus who withstood the temptations and did what Adam could not do, what Israel could not do, what we ourselves cannot do. It is Jesus who chased off the devil. It is Jesus who said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," and went to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who, when people said, "I won't let you suffer," in fact, it's Peter who says, "I won't let you suffer, Jesus. This is ridiculous." He says, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm here to suffer. Suffer for those who will be the children of God." The second application is know that Satan desires to separate you from Christ. This will help you be able to see the lies of Satan. The ultimate test is his word. Does this conform to the word of Jesus Christ? Does this help me draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, then it is part of the truth of God. And it's for the benefit of your soul. If it does not, if it ultimately points you away from Christ, away from God, if it doesn't fit into His word, then it's from Satan, the evil one. It's a lie that is designed to separate you from him. Do not let it. Understand his ultimate desire is to devour us and to sift us like wheat so that we will turn our back on the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing the end game of Satan can help you see his tricks and his devices. And then remember James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Satan is defeated. He is defeated already. Jesus Christ has won the victory. If you stay with Christ, Satan will flee. Your victory is assured. It's promised. It's completed. The question is, will you submit to it? The question is, will you humble yourself and understand that the victory is only in Christ and not in yourself? Will you humble yourself and admit that you needed to be healed, that you were dead in your sins and trespasses? Will you admit that you needed a Savior to suffer the wrath of God for you? That's what we'll be doing in just a minute when we come before the table of the Lord. We're proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. And part of that proclaiming is a proclamation that I am a sinner and that I need that death to be right with God. That my sin deserved that death and Jesus took it upon Himself for me so that I might have salvation, so that I might have life eternal, so that I might have the righteousness that is not mine but is Christ's alone. And in that there's victory over our own flesh, over the world, and over the devil. If you are unwilling to submit yourself to that proclamation, if you are unwilling to say, no, I need Jesus Christ 100%, do not come to the table of the Lord. If you're unwilling to admit that you're a sinner in need of grace, this table is not for you. But if you're willing to say, I do need the grace of God, I need the death of Jesus Christ, without it I'm lost, then this table is for you. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your victory. We thank You that You pray for us and that You uphold us, or that Your Son prays for us and upholds us. Lord, we ask that You would help us humble ourselves. And that when we go through our times of trials and suffering, Lord, we trust in You, the God of all grace, to restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. Lord, as we come before the table, help us do it in remembrance of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us do it in faith. Strengthen our faith through the proclamation of His death. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.